Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Mornings with the Outlaw here on a lovely Friday morning in Los Angeles. It's slightly overcast, but I'm sure the sun will be coming out soon to burn the skin off our bodies. You know how it is nowadays in Los Angeles. It is hot. But I am one of your hosts here for Mornings with the Outlaw John Rocha himself, still recovering from Liverpool's victory yesterday, winning the title. I slept maybe an hour, so we'll see how the show goes. I just was celebrating all night, much to my girlfriend's chagrin. But joined as always there, the beautiful Alex Shashak. How are you?
I'm spiffy. I'm dapper. How are you?
Good.
Do you feel like you're glowing still from your win?
Yeah, I can't tell if it's the lights in the studio or my face that's glowing, but yes,
it's absolutely. It's your sweat from last night. You're like hungover sweat.
My night sweat, yeah, exactly. You're like,
your wind sweat.
I need some foundation for sure to cover it up. Is that necklace an Olympics necklace? What is that?
It's a bee thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, thought it was like cool, interesting. All right, I thought it was like the Olympics thing with the five rings. But anyway, there you go. But we're not here to talk about sports. We're here to talk about movie news and all that jazz, and so there's so much we're going to talk about here today. I just want to remind you all, we are starting at 8:30. We'll be done about 9:45, give you a little bit of a break so you can head into SEN Live this morning. I am on the show, so I needed to cut down some time this morning on this show in particular, but we got a lot to talk about, and we should just get into it. I hope you all are enjoying your mornings, and let's have some fun. The first topic we're going to talk about here is, of course, what a shock, Alex. Tenet is delayed again. It just came over the wire yesterday that Warner Brothers is delaying a Tenet again. That's Christopher Nolan's film, of course. It's the second delay for this movie. It was initially slated to arrive on July 17th. Then it was postponed to July 17th. Then it was postponed to July 31st. Now it's being postponed to August 12th. There was a statement from Warner Brothers. They said in this statement, they are committed to bringing Tenet to audiences in theaters on the big screen when the moment is right, when exhibitors are ready and public officials say that it's time. Public health officials say it's time. In this moment, what we need to be is flexible. We are not treating this as a traditional movie release. We are choosing to open the movie midweek to allow audiences to discover the film in their own time. And we plan to play longer over an extended play period far beyond the norm to develop a very different yet successful release strategy. And Alex, this is all coming in the article. Variety mentions that this comes on the heels of Governor Cuomo out there in New York announcing that movie theaters in his state would not be included in phase four of reopening. And without cinemas in New York City and LA back in business, the big budget action epic will be deprived of two of the country's biggest movie-going markets. Now, AMC has said that they're going to provide all kinds of means to make sure people feel safe in a movie theater, but we're seeing spikes in some big areas, certainly in Los Angeles. New York seems to have settled just a bit, but Florida, other big states are experiencing these spikes. Texas, I think this is making the studio have a little bit of nervousness. But Alex, does it make any sense to just keep moving it 2 weeks as if we're going to solve this thing over 2 weeks? I just don't understand the logic here. Just put TBD, push it all the way to the fall, and let's not keep doing this kind of incremental push. What do you think?
Oh my gosh, Rocha, like you don't know why it's so obviously the key, you know, to making more money. Just the 2 weeks. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so I think this is actually really smart on their behalf. I think, Christopher Nolan, I'm sure he's very distraught. But, you know, this movie was made for $200 million.
Yeah.
You know, Warner Brothers, they're going into this. They're like, we got to protect our investment.
Yeah.
You know, so if we got to play the long game for this, you know, this is a movie that needs to be seen in theaters. Mm-hmm. This is not something, you know, we can have like, you know, surround sound and really awesome TVs and everything in our house, but that's a very different experience, watching this movie at home versus in a theater, you know, having that huge experience when it's like, especially if it's a Nolan movie, you know, it's a whole different situation. So I feel like, you know, it is going to be worth the wait. But at the same time, you know, 2 weeks is not a very long time when it comes to everything going on right now.
Yeah, it feels like it isn't, right? And I wonder if this game of Warner Brothers to be the first studio with a major film release that opens theaters going, encourages people to come back to the movie theaters, if this is now starting to become a bit comical. Because, I mean, it's starting to be, I feel like it's starting to be like, well, Now you're just desperate to be the first studio with a big tentpole picture to open movie theaters. And it seems like you're putting people's lives at risk by, pursuing this insane goal of being that first film that opens up theaters. I don't understand the logic in this. Why not take the hit? Just kind of delay it a little bit. And yes, you've spent $200 million, but people will come see a Christopher Nolan movie whenever it comes out. So why not just wait a little bit, be responsible with your audience? Because I feel from what I'm seeing online and what I'm seeing slowly bubbling up to the surface on and other message boards and chat areas is that they're starting to feel a little bit of resentment here towards Nolan, a little bit of resentment here towards Warner Brothers, that they're trying to be so desperately first into the lane and at the risk of people's lives. And that doesn't bode well for the overall PR hit that your film might take.
Unfortunately, at what point do you think as a theater owner when you're bleeding money or a film studio, at what point are you going to go into this being like, hey, you know, we have movies that need to be released. Not only that, but we need to make money. We need to pay our employees and our stockholders and everything. You know, we have people to please, you know. So, you know, a lot of these other studios aren't holding back all that much either. Warner Brothers, I think, does want to be like the first to the punch. But I do think Disney coming out with the live action Mulan still being released in July 24th is it's going to knock them out of the park. It's going to be the first one to be not only shown in theaters, but people will actually go to theaters to see.
Yeah. Yeah. So. We'll see. I mean, I think that's going to be pushed too. I think now that Tenet's been delayed, I think Mulan's going to delay. We'll hear something maybe today or next week. That's what it seems to be from what I've read online from other people on sites who have connections with Disney, that the rumors are growing that they're going to push this too. Because if you can't open in New York and you can't open in LA, that's a significant amount of money that you are costing your film. So no matter how much you invested in it, the desire to open without two of the biggest markets there to cater to your film and provide a box office success to your film is a massive hit. And look, we're not the only country. I mean, there are countries all over the world who are having trouble reopening theaters, China, what have you. They're having trouble reopening theaters. And so that could come into play here too. So I just feel like the summer should be a wash and we should just check back in again in October or September and just chill out here. And we're seeing the dangerous thing. Our friend Jake Iacovetta sent me late last night some of the ways that theaters that are open now are trying to lure people in to the theater, which is showing old movies for $5 a pop. And I get it. They're going to put Inception in to kind of celebrate the 10th anniversary of that movie and what have you. But I also think it's dangerous to get people to go back in the theater. And do you really want to go see, let's say, Aliens for $5 a pop in a movie theater with the possibility that you might get COVID? It just doesn't make sense to me in any way, shape, or form when I can sit comfortably at home, watch it at home on my TV without risking my life.
I'm not going to lie. If I heard that Lawrence of Arabia was playing in my local theater, I would pay the $5. No, okay. I do want to specify. I live in St. Louis, definitely not a super mega popular city.
Right.
You know, and like I say that, obviously you're in a very different situation, but St. Louis and New York are one of the biggest theater audiences in the US. Mm-hmm. You know, so obviously if you're going to a movie theater, you're more likely to go to a jam-packed theater versus someone like me. Right. You know, I'm lucky if I That's go fair. To a theater, even if it is something like Avengers or something, you know, right. for it to be even half full. So right. If I go to a movie theater right now, I know it's not going to be full. I know seeing a movie such as, you know, Singing in the Rain or, oh my gosh, I would love to see that in theaters.
Yeah.
Oh. Or like I said, Lawrence of Arabia, which I would love to see in a theater. You know, I know for a fact, I'll probably be like one of 10 people in the entire theater. So
that's a good point
for me. Yeah. And also, you know, I'd wear my mask. So I'd be in like Flint.
That's a good point. You know, you're right. Other states certainly don't have the level of theater attendance that other states do or other cities even do. So they're maybe less at risk for going to a movie theater and what have you. But the studios don't count on you guys to be the ones that keep their film afloat and making as much money. It's the bigger cities because of the density of the population going multiple times. So, but that's true. So, I mean, that's a fair point. Other states might not have these concerns that we have in Los Angeles and New York and in Florida about the dangers of going to these things. But in the end, that's what's going to make the difference. You know, whether they're going to release the movie or not is when a New York and LA theaters comfortably open in a large manner and be able to roll out their opening plans so that they have a full theater and have as many people there as possible and as many screenings as possible. And look, Warner Brothers is smart about saying, like, we're going to keep it in the theaters longer than usual. And that makes sense because there's not going to be much that's coming out anyway. So you can stay longer in the theaters where most, I think most films have, what, a 2 month run, 2.5, 2-3 month run.
Especially now. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially now. And, but now you could see 6 months for Tenet. You just never know. So no shock that it's being pushed again. And we'll see if this 2 week incremental thing eventually just irritates people enough that they just finally, Warner Brothers just kicks this thing out, because they can't kick it too far into the fall too, because they have James Bond. So, I mean, that's in November already locked down. Yeah. So we'll see what their decisions are.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into a couple of super chats that came in. Just to let you guys know, the super chats and the Streamlabs are open. Hey, it's Friday. You got, it's payday, right? Come and donate some money. Support the show. Support the Outlaw Nation channel. There you go. It's Friday. Ben Renner says, I don't think 2 weeks is enough. I think WB wants to push it, rather, but I think Nolan is being insistent for the summer. Just my guess. True. There have been rumors that Nolan is the one who's been pushing. There have been reports that Nolan's the one pushing for this thing to come out in the summer. It's a bit irresponsible, don't you think, Alex?
I do think it's a tad irresponsible. You know, Nolan is definitely one of those creatives that, you know, he's not thinking about the financials. He's not thinking about the long-term situation. He's thinking, I want to get my movie out to the public. I'm so excited about this project. I love this project. He's a creator. He's a creator. He's a director, and he cares passionately about his time travel, timey-wimey, weird, death not dying movies.
You right, know, like right.
Interstellar and Inception. And anyway, but at the same time, he's just like, I just want to get this out of the public. I worked so hard on this movie for so long. The movie cost $200 million to make. It has Pattinson. I mean, it has, you know, John David Washington, a lot of these awesome people. And I can understand, you know, from an artist's point of view, absolutely. He has every right to be excited and want this out there. It's just like, is this the right time? I think he should just take into consideration that people, even if it did come out like today, for example, hypothetically, will people go see it? No.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good point. Except
me. I'd probably see it. Being in St. Louis, where no one goes to theaters.
In a small theater. Right. Exactly. There you go. Flash 18487 says, if someone gets sick, there's nobody to blame but themselves. Nolan and the theaters are not forcing anybody to go. You're right. That's absolutely right. It's your own personal choice if you want to go. But there is a thing within any society, within any government, within any country, that you have a responsibility to your citizens. Because guess what? If citizens start to die in mass numbers, guess where your taxes? Where are those taxes? That's a lot of lost income, to be really brutally honest here. And no country wants to see a majority of its citizens or a lot of its citizens pass away, because that is also income that you're losing in the overall function of your country and could affect you in a very big way negatively. So those kinds of things are irresponsible as well. So you have that's why these governors have come out and these people have come out to say, wear the masks, social distance, keep people at home, self-quarantine, self-isolating, because you don't want to pass this on to a large swath of people. The more people that get it, the more people that pass it on, the more numbers that increase and grow. That's an incredible hit, not only just for people's families and people losing loved ones, but also an incredible hit for the economy of the country. So it's not a positive. And if these films come out and people don't go to see them, then we start seeing all the articles about the death of the movie industry. And that's a massive hit that your country will take in its economy as well. So just something to think about. Nothing's in a vacuum is all I'm trying to say.
Tenet looks good. It doesn't look like it's going to be worth your life at the end of the day. I just want to, or anyone's life. I mean, I don't care how awesome the special effects and how deep the themes are, you know, I mean, like it's not worth it at the end of the day. But Singing in the Rain is.
Singing the Fair, fair.
Singing in the Rain is totally worth
I do understand this sentiment, Michael Knipp. I just don't want the last movie that I've ever seen in the theater to be Bloodshot. That's fair. That's fair.
What would be, I wonder what would be the best movie to see, like to your last movie in theater?
Lawrence of Arabia. That's not a bad choice.
Need to see that. Yeah.
If you and Lucas ever move out to LA, they show Lawrence of Arabia every 2 months over at the Arrow or the Egyptians. You can see it like in 4K and widescreen. You'll enjoy that for sure.
I just saw it for the first time a few months ago, and I was like, wow, this movie holds up. This movie's solid.
PLD, it doesn't have Ed Harris in it, so probably not worth your life. Yeah.
No priorities, Paul. I get it. Fair enough. He also has like really bad opinions, so,
there it is.
Sorry, Paul. Love you.
Well, we've got like 126 of y'all watching us, but only 42 likes. Please swing your mouse over there and hit that like button. Swing that cursor over there. Hit that thumbs up button. Give us some likes. Let's get over 100 likes so we can move forward. Jake Iacovetta says, theater business is thriving here, idiots. Right. Okay, got it.
I bet you Jake's saying that so well. Like, oh, idiots.
Idiots. Yeah, these idiots are going to the theater. That's what he's talking about. The idiots that are going to the theater. Not a good thing.
Whatever.
Let's move on to our next one. Let's see here. Who do we got? Let's move on to our next story, and that is boom! That's right. Gone with the Wind is back. Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who are clutching your pearls, upset that Gone with the Wind had been pulled down by HBO Max, it is now back with a brand new video introduction. You all know the plan was always to return with Gone with the Wind on HBO Max, and now it is back. It's got a four-minute introductory video hosted by film scholar Jacqueline Stewart that plays before the movie starts and explores, quote, why this 1939 epic drama should be viewed in its original form, contextualized and discussed. Alex, also, there is a hour-long panel discussion titled, quote, The Complicated Legacy of Gone with the Wind, that is also up on HBO Max for people to watch. The film scholar Stewart also goes on to say, watching Gone with the Wind can be uncomfortable, even painful. Still, it is important that classic Hollywood films are available to us in their original form for viewing and discussion. That panel discussion that I was just mentioning here, it is from the TCM Classic Movie Festival in April of 2019. Friend of the show, Alicia Malone, has hosted a few of those over there at the TCM Festival. Fantastic stuff there. For those of you not familiar with Gone with the Wind, it's directed by Victor Fleming, starred Vivian Leigh, Clark Gable, and Hattie McDaniel, who became the first African-American performer to win an Oscar. Of course, she was playing a maid to a white Southern belle there in the South. It portrays the American Civil War in a kind of a positive light. Vivian Leigh, who plays Scarlett O'Hara, is the daughter of a plantation owner, which means there are slaves working around her. And many people have criticized the movie over the years for being positive about the Civil War and about the South during the Civil War. So certainly interesting to explore this thing. I like that they put it back up with a four-minute video or whatever introducing it. I like that they have the panel there for people to watch if they really want to explore this. If you're film scholars and things you have to think about, yes, people are fighting about this movie, but there are people who study film, who become cinephiles, and I think these panel discussions and these introductory videos are a great way to like put things in context for those of you who are film fans. What do you think about this, Alex?
I'm super excited as a movie fan that only recently started diving into like a lot of older classics, you know, like Criterion, you know, films and everything. You know, I'm pretty excited about this. I've been, you know, diving into, you know, going down the rabbit hole with a lot of these old panels and everything, because I can obviously say something like Disney's Peter Pan is, you know, is a fun movie, but at the same time, oh, sweet Jesus, what makes some of the songs.
Song of the South. So, yeah.
That too. Yeah. So it's really great to kind of put in perspective, you know, not only from, you know, the creator's point of view at the time in Hollywood, but also, you know, understanding why it's important that we're not changing anything, you know, especially now more than ever. I know Disney as well. I mean, they're editing a lot of their movies to take out certain things that can, you know, obviously that can have a lot of racial undertones or sexist undertones. I know like in 1940s Fantasia, that movie was completely revamped. So, you know, I'm not surprised this happened, but I'm also really excited that we have more access to really great panels such as this on such a big platform.
Yeah. I don't disagree. And you're right. I mean, we're starting to see so many so many studios, creators reacting to this situation. You know, we've seen Tina Fey pulled down 4 30 Rock episodes that have people blackface, a couple of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt episodes. And she's taking a lot of flack online. People are starting now, like, reevaluating her approach to comedy and her kind of casualness about race and about blackface and about a cultural appropriation. I mean, they turned Jane Krakowski, who's one of the whitest actors you've ever seen in your life, they put her in the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt and eventually gave her a backstory where she's Native American. And that's a lot of people were upset about that. Titus Burgess, I think that's the actor's name, him coming out in Asian geisha stuff. So there was some issue about that. So, and we're seeing Jimmy Kimmel came up and apologized for stuff he'd done in the past. Yeah. Jimmy Fallon for doing blackface with Chris Rock. Scrubs has taken out, I think, 3 or 4 episodes where JD was in blackface. So apparently comedy in blackface has been going on for quite some time. And we've been apparently not having an issue with it until now. All of a sudden, it's been more blatant blackface that has been the anger. And some people have brought up Tropic Thunder. I don't think the swell is big enough yet to go after Tropic Thunder, because that was a play on people who go too far in preparation for their roles, and it was not necessarily done in blackface to be a black character. So this is all the things that are happening here. They're happening so quickly, and I appreciate this too. Like you said, it's nice to have a little bit of access to these discussions, so people can have a more fleshed out, more knowledgeable approach to the film, more nuanced approach to the film, and will be able to decide for themselves whether they want to watch the movie or support the movie.
Absolutely. When it comes to cultural appropriation and blackface, obviously blackface to me is never a good thing ever under any circumstances. Cultural appropriation is a very difficult topic to tackle, because I have a lot of friends, you know, for example, you know, for me, I look at something and maybe I assume that it's racist, but I have for example, the woman dressing up like a geisha and she's a white woman. You know, but I have a lot of friends because I was born in Okinawa and I do have friends that are Japanese, and they're like, and they see that, and I'm like, I assume looking at it, I'm like, oh, this is cultural appropriation. And they're like, no, that's not. If anything, they're like, they're excited about their, you know, their enthusiasm and everything. They're not doing it in a weenie way, you know, they're not being rude or awful about it. You know, if anything, they're celebrating, you know, so it's a very complicated conversation around appropriation, but you need to have it with, you know, a lot of people. You can't just have a room of a bunch of white people talk about what is appropriation and what isn't, obviously. Yeah. And I'm glad that going into movies like this, you know, we're having a lot of people from a lot of different backgrounds, you know, being able to have this very complicated conversation when it comes to these very intense movies with a lot of dark themes. We can't just ignore them. So why not invite the conversation into, you know, into these streaming services?
I agree with you completely. Straight Edge Vangum says, what about white chicks? I don't know. That's an interesting conversation. I mean, for me, I'm like, if black people do whiteface, I don't think it's, because if you look at it in context, right, when the majority is playing the minority for laughs, that's not a good thing. That's punching down. Mm-hmm. When the minority is making fun of the majority, that's actually allowed, because you're fighting back against systemic racism in your way by portraying these characters in a certain way or making fun of these characters a certain way. Now, white chicks is an interesting situation, because you've got men portraying women in a certain way that, regardless of color, that could be something you could have an argument about. I have not seen the movie, so I don't know necessarily if that's a negative in the movie, but it's certainly a conversation that you can have. But once again, you're seeing a black person imitating a white person. That's not necessarily bad. But if you look at it gender-wise, it could be. So I don't know. I haven't seen the movie. So
it's not a good movie. You know, you don't need the movie. You probably will have to at some point just for schmodown purposes. But there's a line where Terry Crews, he plays a retired football player. Mm-hmm. And he says, and he's like a... He saves his girlfriend, who he thinks is a young white girl, white woman, and she's like, oh my gosh, and he's like sitting there injured, like, oh my gosh, it's like, what do you mean you're not white? What? And he's like, no, I'm not a woman. What? Huh? And they're like, what do you mean you're not white? Oh, oh my gosh, the shame! How dare you treat me? And so he's more concerned about him being pretending to be white versus like. Marlon Wayne's character is like, what do you mean? I thought it's gender is more the issue.
Right. Right.
It's really, it's kind of, that was a weird scene overall. So if you're going to watch anything, watch that scene, but the movie is horrible. But yeah, fair that's, enough. That's a very intense conversation. I feel like we would need more people.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just something to consider. But I there has been Whiteface that has been very well done. Certainly Eddie Murphy, if you go back and watch his old SNL sketches, he went in whiteface. This legitimately happened. He went in whiteface, but of course it was played for gags on the show or sketch. So you should watch that video. But the point of the video was to show how it seems like in society, if you're white, you get more preference. So even back in the early 80s, Eddie Murphy was doing this subtle social commentary with his comedy. So it isn't like social commentary just showed up in comedy all of a sudden. It's always been there. So just a little bit of a history lesson for you all. And please, we got some Streamlabs that came through, Alex, and we'll see what happens with this, with more movies as they get this treatment from other streaming services with introductions and panel discussions for sure.
Chappelle too, by
what's
the way.
That?
Dave Chappelle.
Yes, Chappelle.
Oh, my
yes,
gosh.
Yeah, absolutely, Chappelle. yes. PLD, Baldinuzio donated here. He said, it's still so strange not to be going to the movies weekly at least. Hey, John, from your personal experience, is this what it was like before movies existed? I kid. Alex, as always, you rock. Wait, we're supposed to fight. You suck. Love you both. Wow. There's a lot of internal wars going on inside Baldinuzio with that post. Alex, any thoughts on this? All right, there we go. Eloquently said. It's weird. I agree. It's not weird for me, to be honest with you. I'm okay. I might be one of those people who never goes to a theater again, depending on the situation. If I can survive doing my career, watching movies from home or streaming movies from home, I may just go that route. But I don't know if that's a possibility, but I personally am not rushing to go back to a movie theater. I've been enjoying the time building the channel. I've been enjoying the time watching movies out in the living room and hanging out and doing my own thing. We built our space so that we can both coexist in our space comfortably. And that was our purpose from the moment we moved in here. And so for me, it hasn't been kind of crazy to not go to a movie theater. I do like to leave the house. That's for damn sure. I wandered to a Whole Foods for 45 minutes the other day for no reason. Just wandered around it. Didn't buy a damn thing just to get out of the house. So, you know, those are the things that happen. But a movie theater could be a fun diversion as well. So I hear you, Paul. Anthony Persak donated. He said, I don't have a question. Just wanted to say I love, respect, and support everything you do. Thank you. Not just as a content creator and Schmodown personality, but as a person in general. Keep up the great work, and I'm looking forward to what's to come. Well, thank you, Anthony. Very kind of you. Please don't forget Alex in this. She's doing great stuff over there as well on the Call to Action YouTube channel, right? And it's Mo Bates. Are you rep?
Oh, gosh. I just had it fly into my nose.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, not
perfect
again.
Timing. Not again. What do you mean not again?
That was weird timing.
You need to step off for a second?
Okay. No, I'm good. That sure? was so random.
Oh, my God. This is the greatest.
No. I'll just flick it out, Fly Girl. Sorry. We're good.
All right. One last stream here from Jay Scotty Friel. He said, morning, when might we start to see films openly acknowledge the state of the world in the era of COVID? Will it be commonplace to see background extras with face masks? Or will blockbusters continue to exist in alternate realities as a form of escapism? It's a great question, Jay Scotty. Do you reflect the society or do you offer an escape to its society? That depends on the kind of film you're making. It's like, you know, you can have those escapist fairs and you can have films that comment on society, certainly. So both of them, I think, will be in play. And I think as soon as production starts, we'll start to see those films more and more starting next year. Probably they'll probably have to shoot them this year if production ever goes back into function and then put them out next year. What do you think, Alex?
I really wouldn't be surprised. I remember when I spent some time in China when I was in college. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing, like, I saw Avengers when I was in college over there, and it was really cool seeing in Chinese. So it was really fun. So it was really interesting to me is that, you know, going to the theaters, like everyone, a lot, it feels like super duper common, especially in just throughout Asia, at least places where I've been, that a lot of people wear masks casually.
Yeah.
You know, especially if you're going to a really populated area. So it's not a huge deal. You know, people being like saying that you should wear masks, like everyone already wears masks over there.
Right.
Um, But I do feel like kind of similar to how a lot of movies can really age themselves by using certain forms of technology.
Yeah.
You know, like if you use like if someone like whips out like an old iPhone or like iPod, everyone's like, yeah, that's just from a certain time period, clearly. So it kind of ages the movie in a certain way. I'm kind of curious if because I don't know if wearing masks is going to be super duper common, at least in the U.S. in our future. Right. Right. And so I feel like if movies were to do that, I feel like it would almost age them or like put them at a certain point in time almost.
Yeah. Oh, date them. Yeah, that's a fair point.
Yeah, I'll date them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Jay Scott, if real, offering a little bit of advice for you. He said a face mask would have been helpful for that nose fly there, Alex. There you go.
You know what? It would have. I kind of wish I had one.
Fair. All right, well, let's take a quick break. Alex, please plug what's going on in your world, what's happening in your life. What do you got going on here?
Oh my gosh, guys. Okay, so I'm on Schmobase next week. I'm going to be having Koi Jandru as my co-host for... Bibs, William the Beast movie on and going up against Daniel Ramirez. It's going to be so much fun. Oh my gosh, I cannot wait. It's going to be on Wednesday at 9:30 Central. It's going to be all out of Mecca Chips. So definitely come hang out with me at the Cold Action Podcast. You can find it on YouTube there. But also, I co-host a show called Cinema Bias, where we dive into our personal biases when it comes to all things movies to really expand our movie palette. Yeah. I just saw Jojo Rabbit yesterday. I was so delighted by that movie. And we're going to be over the next few weeks, we're going to be watching Warrior, Wall Street, Ooh. And Who Framed Roger Rabbit. And I haven't seen Wall Street, so I'm excited to dive into that movie now more than ever, considering. Cool.
Yeah, and I was just on Cinema Bias doing Rosemary's Baby on Tuesday night. If you guys haven't watched that episode, a lot of fun. Really explore. Yeah. What's that?
Great episode.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to be on it. I was very honored to be the first guest to ever be on that show. So that was a joy. And having the discussion with these two incredibly intelligent ladies was a blast. So I had a great time. And that movie was damn good. I was so surprised how much I enjoyed that movie. So
I was like, I don't want to like it.
Yeah, I was like, this is going to be dated. Yeah, exactly. So if you want to watch me and Alex and Video Drew talking about Rosemary's Baby, you can. It's on there on Cinema Bias. Let me tell you some of the programs going on here on the Outlaw Nation channel later on today. Aaron Turner and I at 4 o'clock, we got a live episode of Strong Style. We're gonna have a lot of fun talking about Tessa Blanchard being fired from Impact Wrestling, 10 WWE talent getting the COVID virus, how WWE is reacting to that. We're also going to revisit Sasha Banks versus Bayley from NXT TakeOver in Brooklyn. That's going to be a lot of fun as well. Also, the Geek Buddies. Yeah, we just did our first live show yesterday. It was a lot of fun. About 120 of you all joined us live. We talked about all kinds of things, all things geek. Michael Keaton coming back as Batman, what the DCU is going to do. So much was covered there, and it's all there. I've talked about Joel Schumacher, a little tribute to him, the Kingsman trailer, and we discussed Nazi bronies. That's right. There are bronies who are right-wing Nazis and are part of the brony culture. Michael, who is an executive producer at My Little Pony and executive produced the movie that came out recently, he spoke about it with us off of that Atlantic article. So that is up now for you to go and enjoy. It's also up on the Geek Buddies podcast stream as well. What else have I got here? Oh, yeah, Mike Kalinowski. If you haven't watched it, me and Mike Kalinowski, we had a lot of fun on Tuesday night on the Outlaw Nation show. That is up there for you to watch as well. Mike, as always, very open, very vulnerable, very fun to talk to. I've missed him so much physically in person, so it was nice to catch up with Mike on the Outlaw Nation channel. So definitely go and watch that. And, of course, the Top 10 out, a new show for that. We did, Top 10 Jack Nicholson movies in honor of the man who seems to have been retired for the last 10 years from movies and maybe might make a comeback for this new Batman film. We shall see. We shall see.
Oh, my gosh. If he did. That would be so much fun.
I think
we can't move.
One Streamlab came through from Anthony Persag. Said, of course, I'm more than happy to support Alex. Just to be clear, Alex, I'm not as familiar with you as I am of Roka, but you've already won me over in this little bit I've seen you. Roka, make sure this 5 goes to her if possible. Big thanks to both of you. There you go, Alex. All right. Let's move on. Yeah, and definitely subscribe below as Sean Berto is moderating today in the chat. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the channel. Also, if you hit the bell, you'll be notified when the next video goes live. Thank you, Sean. Yeah, definitely subscribe below. Marching towards 15,000 subscribers slowly but surely, but getting there for sure. Kyle Sackett with a super chat here, Alex. He said, Rocha, yeah, you never walk alone. Let's go, Reds. And I hope Klopp returns for years to come. His passion for the game and love of club history is a rarity in today's game. Favorite manager of all time and why?
Ooh. Oh, I just want to make sure we're not talking about Schmodown.
No, we're talking soccer. There he is, Jurgen Klopp. That's my mask there, and my Liverpool stuff always right by my side. Yeah, great stuff. He is my favorite manager, period. Screw Alex Ferguson. Screw everybody else. He is my favorite manager. It was Benitez for a while, but now it is definitely Jurgen Klopp. His intensity, his passion, his desire, and his intelligence tactically are one of the things that I love the most, and how he's able to get the best out of these players. Certainly an incredible thing. We'll talk about it on Game Time for sure on Monday, much to the chagrin, I'm sure, of Winston and Jay, but it's going to be a fun Liverpool episode. Or maybe I'll do a special episode on its own. I'm thinking about doing a live episode on Saturday where we do a Zoom call with Liverpool fans who are in my community to come on and talk about it. So I think that's something I'm considering. So yeah, could be fun.
Is a manager the same thing as a coach?
Yes, but in Britain, okay. In football, they call it a manager. Yeah,
got it. Okay, absolutely. I was here and I was like picturing like baseball managers and stuff. And I'm like, the people that own the team? Like, you're cheering on the owners? I'm like, what? Sorry, so that's my like mindset. I was like,
wow. No, totally.
So I just want to make sure.
And this one's for Alex. Happy birthday, 46th birthday to Derek Jeter. Derek Jeter. That's right. That's right, Alex.
How dare you?
Screw them Cardinals. All right, anyway. All right.
You know what? Red Sox and Yankees can suck it, okay?
Whoa. All right.
In honor of Cardinal.
This is not a sports show, so I apologize for that diversion, but thank you so much for that super chat, Kyle. And yes, you never walk alone, my man. Hope you watch that 3-minute, 42-second video Liverpool released. It's gorgeous. All right, let's move on. I think we got some Sherlock Holmes news. Alex, you want to take us into that one?
Absolutely. So, guys, if you're not familiar with a little, you know, British story with British characters by the name of Sherlock and Mycroft Holmes, you know, that's totally fine. No big deal. Who you really need to know about is Enola Holmes, okay? The younger 14-year-old sister of Sherlock and Mycroft. So this one is actually about this story is actually about Enola, who's a 14-year-old girl played by Billie Bobby Brown. You may know her from Stranger Things or otherwise. And she wakes up one day to discover her mother, is missing while her older brothers wish to send her off to boarding school. Enola's like, nah, bro. She sets out to London to find her mother. That's played by Helena Bonham Carter. Now, I do want to give you, just let you know that this movie is a period, I think a coming of age kind of mystery movie. Yeah. So we have some really great pictures there. You know, obviously, Sam Claflin is right there as Mycroft Holmes, you know, probably working for the government. And Henry Cavill is playing Sherlock Holmes. Yeah, so this is definitely a Netflix, movie made in heaven. I believe it's a movie, not a miniseries or anything. But yeah. Henry Cavill's coming off hot off The Witcher. And obviously, so much conversation around him being back involved in the Justice League with HBO Max. And Millie Bobby Brown, obviously, Stranger Things. So there's so much conversation about this movie in particular, and those pictures that we came in, they look pretty fun. And this is actually based off Nancy Springer's young adult novels following the 4-year-old Enola and her adventures. So there is a lot of potential for, several, sequels, potentially if this movie is successful. And at this time, it was actually acquired by Netflix, but they are expected to release it sometime this fall. What'd you think about those pictures?
I love those pictures, and I love to see Henry Cavill in anything, to be honest with you. I haven't watched I'm a little nervous about The Witcher, so I haven't watched it yet. I feel like it's going to be an overwhelming amount of information and the logic, and I've never played the game or watched the whatever it was that it was based on. I've never read the books or anything like that, so I'm concerned about that. But Henry Cavill in everything, I'm 100%. I loved him in Mission Impossible Fallout. Of course, I love him as Superman. I love that he's coming back to this he looks great here. Doesn't he look great here? I mean,
he looks so cool.
Right? Like, sure. Yeah. He's so good looking. It's almost unfair. And when he's standing there, he's like, but I can't hate you. Like, normally I could hate you, but I can't actually hate you because, like, you carry it with such grace and dignity, and your comments are always fun. His recent interview with Patrick Stewart earlier this week was hilarious. And so you're just like, this guy just kind of gets it. And he's so chill. And yes, he's in the, as Tina Fey might say in 30 Rock, he's in that bubble, the good looking bubble. But it's okay. I'm okay with him being in the bubble. And I like this. And Millie Bobby Brown looks good too here. And I like that she's advancing with a project like this that kind of pushes the boundaries for her as an actress, and let's see what she can do with this. She will be the focus of the movie. It's called Enola Holmes. It will not be Claflin. It will not be Henry Cavill. She will be the focus. So to see her carrying another film is good, especially on the heels of that Godzilla movie, which wasn't so great, King of Monsters. It's good to see her kind of expanding her resume a little bit more with this. And I like the pictures. It looks like the right kind of vibe and the right kind of period piece approach to it as well. Did you like the pictures?
Overall, I thought it looked really cool. I have not read the books. I'm not familiar with the books, but they just look so much. I mean, this premise alone feels very fun. This is not now the character of Enola Holmes. You know, there has been long theorized, you know, whether or not the Sherlock and Mycroft Holmes have a younger sister.
Oh yeah, right.
So, you know, there's been some theories regarding, you know, whether or not she has a sister, and you know, the show, Sherlock from the BBC, it's actually explored that quite a little bit. She's supposed to be the most intelligent of the Holmes siblings. So just to put that in a little perspective, but 14 years old, and she's having fun with it, and she's adventurous and funny, and you know, a lot of really great people are involved with this, you know. So I'm pretty excited. And not to mention, you know, Henry Cavill, look at that jawline. I just want to,
I mean,
oh, you know, I mean, so pretty. So pretty.
I mean, look at that.
Look at that jawline.
Look at that jawline. It can bust granite. Yes. It can bust granite. It's so good.
I think I cut my hand trying to stroke that, you know, jawline right there.
But he's also a very talented, intelligent man. We're not trying to objectify him. He's always
great. I'm sorry. I definitely shouldn't do that.
He's very well spoken. All of that. Have to respect him. let's see. Larry Lee sent in. Oh, well, anyway, I'm looking forward to it, dude. It's coming out on Netflix. Yeah. I can't wait to. There's so much coming here. I think the Eurovision one is coming out this week or today, actually. The Will Ferrell one. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to watching that. I'll definitely do a review of that. And then we got Dark Army coming next month with Charlize Theron and Enola Holmes
or something.
What's that?
Is it called Dark Army? I thought it was like The Old Guard or something.
Oh, I'm sorry, The Old Guard. Jesus.
I was like, what is that movie?
In my head, I think it's like The Dark Army or something like that. But yes, The Old Guard. That is coming from Charlize next month. And of course, this is coming out very soon as well, Enola Holmes. So look for that. Great pictures being dropped. Larry Lee with a couple of super chats here. He says, don't think I'm going back to work. Ugh. I'm sorry, Larry. I think Larry works at the theater. So I apologize, Larry. It sucks for sure. I would encourage you to start looking for other employment, my man. You don't know when this thing is coming back.
Yeah.
Try to see what's out there. Try to explore. It might be a blessing in disguise for you to move on to another situation that might be more favorable to you overall. Good morning to both of you. Good morning to you, Larry.
Not to mention, there's nothing wrong with, you know, taking side gigs and everything right now. I have I have a lot of friends, you know, because the company, you know, they worked with prior was, you know, has let them off temporarily. They're just saying, hey, we, as a company, we just don't know when we can come back.
Yeah.
You know, they're back on hours and, you know, the amount of workers that they need and everything. So, you know, obviously they're doing what they can, you know, financially, it's just tough times for everyone.
Yes.
But, you know, I definitely encourage, you know, maybe seeking out, like, you know, there's a bunch of, you know, gigs out there as well.
Yeah,
for sure.
There's stuff out there. And he congratulates me on my big win. That's for sure. Thank you so much. I mean, I didn't play the game, of course, but I've been following this team for 30 years, blood, sweat and tears for sure for this team. So I respect it. Michael Knipp informing us the My Spy and the Eurovision movie with Will Ferrell and Rachel McAdams came out today. So My Spy, the one with Dave Bautista, that looks kind of cute and fun. So maybe I'll take some time later on today and watch them, or this weekend. Certainly. Yeah. All right. We got, how many of you are watching us live here? We got almost 200. Yeah, 193 of you live, but still only 76 likes. Come on, gang. Get us to 150 likes before we wrap this thing up in the next 30 minutes. Pitch them, Alex.
Okay, how many weird sounds do I need to do in this AMSR situation? Do I need to do in order to get more likes? Do I need to do the or do the? Do I need to get more flies in my nose?
Flies in your nose. Yes.
Flies in my nose. I feel like someone needs to make that like a song for me. Fly in my nose. Fly in my nose. Oh my gosh, everyone's got fly in my nose.
Nice.
You know, it's going to get weird up in here, guys, if you don't start liking this video.
Yeah.
I'll be very disappointed. Also, with you.
likes the video, gives the video likes. For God's sakes, we won the title last night. Give us some likes on the video, please. Like some likes video. On the video. Oh,
yeah.
All right. Let's move on to our next thing before we totally lose it here. And that is Doctor Strange 2. This dropped a little bit late yesterday afternoon that Chiwetel Ejiofor is coming back to Doctor Strange 2 to play Mordo. We haven't seen him since Doctor Strange 2 in any of those Avengers or Spider-Man stuff. Like, we haven't seen him in any of this stuff, but he is back. And I found that to be interesting too, when we saw Avengers Endgame, that none of the villains came and helped the heroes. Hey, he was coming to destroy your planet too. So it's interesting how they kept all the villains out of this thing in the fight to save the Earth. But Mordo certainly was one of those people, Carl Mordo, who did not show up. He was seen in the post credits of Doctor Strange turning to villainy, stealing the mystical energy that Jonathan Pangborn was using to no longer be paraplegic. That, of course, was played by the other gorgeous guy, Benjamin Bratt. Then Mordo claims that Earth has too many sorcerers. So for those of you who know the Doctor Strange story with Mordo in the comics, you know he goes after to try to destroy the sorcerers and take their power and make him even more powerful in his efforts to not have a situation where the sorcerers are running off doing their own thing. So in his mind, he thinks he's doing the right thing to preserve the teachings. And remember, Mordo really helped Doctor Strange, Stephen Strange, Benedict Cumberbatch character come into his own as a sorcerer and then turns on his friend. So certainly that'll be something that will be coming up. And he revealed in a quote, he said, all will be revealed in the Sam Raimi directed follow-up about why he hasn't appeared in any of these subsequent movies. He told comicbook.com, he's coming on. I'm very, very excited about that. Obviously, we've been sort of interrupted as the whole world has been in the pandemic, but hopefully we are back on track with that and continuing quite soon. So I'm very excited about it. He will be seen in the Old Guard, as Alex correctly corrected me on, in July with Charlize Theron. But this is great, right? I mean, I love this actor. I love Chiwetel. I love him in this role, and he'll be a great villain. And so it's nice to hear that he's coming back, don't you think?
Yeah, I'm super excited about this this idea, just because, you know, I feel like his character wasn't given all that much screen time. And I mean, like with Chiwetel Ejiofor, I mean, he's fantastic as an actor. Yeah. I have never seen a movie with him in it that I'm like, you know, he's okay. Like every time I've seen him in it, he's pretty fantastic. I love him. But also I think he's really just super, not only excited to bring this character, you know, back on screen, you know, like genuinely so, but also, I mean, let's be honest, like, no villain ever thinks they're a villain. They think they're the hero, you know, like Thanos, Loki, they didn't think they were villains, you know? Yeah. I mean, they think they're heroes in their own stories, you know, and I'm sure, you know, they kind of are, but with him in particular, you know, this idea of too many sorcerers, I mean, is he wrong? I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot, that's kind of a conversation. I mean, that's having too many sorcerers is one of the reasons what Doctor Strange got him into that mess in the first place.
Yeah,
so in his mind, I totally see where he's coming from. It just makes me sad seeing, you know, Benjamin, you know, Platt, you know, going from playing hoops to unfortunately losing his abilities. But I think he's Chiwetel seems really excited about not only just getting back to filming, but also he's excited to work with Sam Raimi. Sam Raimi is directing this movie. This is his, as far as I know, his first MCU property that he's going to be directing. So I'm excited to see him really kind of dive into it. And, you know, Raimi, obviously, he's definitely one of those, like, I don't want to say cultish directors, but he has a very specific style, I think, would be perfect for Doctor Strange.
Yeah. And I agree with you 1,000%. I think he would be absolutely fantastic to come back in this thing and see what's going on. And Raimi, I think the idea that, you know, Boss Logic did a great little thing for Multiverse of Madness where you see the alternate other Spideys coming through the portal. So cool. Yeah, so if you have Chiwetel going, him being able to go into multiple other dimensions, other storylines, and mess with Doctor Strange, that could be fun too. What is Chiwetel going to bring in? What villains? You know, everyone's all excited about multiple Spideys. we could have multiple villains from those Spider-Man movies coming mm-hmm. through as well. That could be fascinating and see what he can conjure up. So it's good. I mean, I liked the villain in the first movie because it was an unusual thing to beat a villain with your mind over and over again, trick the villain with your mind. I like this situation now, a little more mano-a-mano, so to speak, or you know, hands to hands in the sorcerer kind mm-hmm. of vibe. So I enjoy this and I'm looking forward to it. Mordo and Strange always have fantastic battles in the comic books too, so this should be a lot of fun for sure. All right, yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. Oh, what, another one that's beautiful? Okay,
no, the art style, it's like
well spoken.
The so well spoken. Oh, so he is an attractive man, obviously.
Yeah,
but sure. I was gonna say the comics in particular. Doctor Strange has a very specific, style, art style, which I really, really enjoy. You know, Doctor Strange is a comic book. As a comic book series that really came from, you know, that emerged from the, as a reaction to like the hippie, you know, hippie sexual revolution, essentially with the idea of like magic and, you know, and working with powers and everything. So it's a direct reaction from that. And that's really reflected in the art style, which is so beautiful.
Yeah, agreed. Mm-hmm. And J. Scott Friel has a great point. He says maybe Mordo targets the Scarlet Witch and triggers her when she's vulnerable. Yeah, it's certainly possible.
There you go.
If they handle that correctly, then I'm all for it, Scotty. But remember, they did that already in Civil War. They tried to take advantage of her. They tried to, you know, prey on her vulnerability, and she is no longer in that place. But Vision has died. So, and apparently WandaVision is supposed to be wacky as hell and completely out there and strange. So maybe Mordo finds a way in there while she's processing the loss of Vision and takes advantage of a situation and has her maybe do a House of M, or like people say, create the X-Men out of thin air in her own mind with the mutant situation. We shall see. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Daniel Haygood reminds us that Warner Brothers better be seeing this thirst for Henry Cavill as Sherlock Holmes. Start making the calls to put together Man of Steel 2. Totally agree, Daniel. I agree.
Just put me on the phone. I'll get you that deal. I'll make it happen.
You think you'll make it happen?
Like, have you seen those cheekbones? So good.
Yeah. That's perfect. I who could turn that down? Who could turn that down, for God's sakes? Let's see. So we got another super chat that rolled through here. I want to make sure I get them all. This is from Mark Jason Ali. Roka, are you on SEN again today? Always good to see you there. Alex, do you think you'll ever appear? You're great. Alex, you want to take that?
I think it would be awesome. I don't think it's ever going to happen. I'm a fan, but at the end of the day, I'm a huge Schmodown fan, but I'm not a competitor or a Schmodown, like actual Schmodown personality for sure. Just an obnoxious, loud, boisterous
look,
fan.
You never know. You never know. And I think, you know,
I'm
cool. Well, I think is the more stuff you do, Alex, it eventually you'll pop up into a position where people see it and they'll be like, yeah, let's put her on. I don't think it's totally possible, especially since we're doing stuff virtually all the time now. So we shall see. And I am on SEN again today. I'm not hosting, but I will be one of the panelists. I'm looking forward to being on and hanging out with everybody on the Friday crew. It's been fun this week to be on three times. It's been a joy, to be honest with you. So it's great to be back. It's great to be back doing our thing. One last thing. Michael Nip says, My Fly, starring Alex Mack. Oh, I like that. Instead of My Spy. Very funny. Very funny. And Sean wants you to say, say the Yankees are the best, Alex. Say the Yankees.
Only can pay $100 in a super chat.
Okay. All right, done.
While I do it.
Done.
And then I'll cry while doing it because I'll be fair. Like mumbling the entire time, being like, it's no. I shall say no lies.
Fair enough. All right, let's move on to our next. Yeah, if you want to donate $100 in super chat or stream last for anybody who wants Alex to say the Yankees are the best, feel free. All right, let's move on to Twister. There's a remake, Alex, that's happening with Twister here. Universal Pictures is looking to reboot this thing, and they have found a director, and this is coming to us from Variety. They are hiring Joseph Kosinski, and you go, well, that name sounds familiar. Well, it should sound familiar. He's also directing, or has directed already, because they were ready to release the film already. It'll be coming out in December, Top Gun Maverick. That's right, Top Gun Maverick. He'd also done Oblivion with Tom Cruise, and then Tron Legacy, which I absolutely loved. And I know it's a movie that does have issues, but overall, it's a movie that is an experience. And I liked Oblivion to a degree. And I'm looking forward to seeing what Top Gun Maverick will do. But Alex, did you like the original Twister? It made $494 million worldwide. The box office, certainly there's groundbreaking special effects. Jan de Bont directed this, who also did Speed. Steven Spielberg executive produced it. So in your mind, do you want to see a Twister reboot? Because I don't even think we ever got a sequel, did we?
No, this movie is a very sentimental, I don't want to say, I feel like sentimental is the wrong word. This is a huge father-daughter movie in my house. I love this movie. It's so fun, not to mention, at the time, this movie, it was produced by Steven Spielberg. The screenwriter was Michael Crichton, hugely famous author, obviously, you know, one of the rare times he does actually, you know, pen a movie. But also, it was directed by Jen DeBoot. I don't know who that was, but it was a huge, huge hit. It made almost $500 million worldwide at the time in the late 90s. I think it was like in 96. But this movie in particular, I think it's really fun. I love it. I love movies about, I don't like to say about the weather, but I like movies about scientists, people nerding out over science.
Okay. All right.
And it's just a fun time. It really is. You know, it seems like it would be really, you know, boring if you just read like a plot, but it's actually a really great time in that random moo cow, like that cow just flying by. I mean, so random. I love it. you know, but a lot of people that are attached to this, you know, Frank Marshall, who is producing, you know, he's produced Signs, you know, Raiders, you know, Curious Case of Benjamin Button, just to name a few, you know, but a lot of these really great people are attached to it. I am a little iffy, to be completely honest, about Joe Kosinski. Just because he's really wonderful when it comes to these like sci-fi world building, you know, Oblivion, Tron and everything. But this is meant to be like a kind of grittier, like, movie, I guess, you know, smaller, tighter movie. And I don't know if he can deliver that because he loves using the special effects. He loves doing a lot of these big, grand, you know, scenes and everything. And I don't know that's what I would want coming into this movie, Twister.
Fair enough. I mean, well, Jan de Bont is they misspell it here in the article in Variety. He did the first Speed, and did Speed 2. He did Lara Croft, The Cradle of Life. Did Twister and hasn't done much since that time. He also did The Haunting for sure. So there was a few things there overall that he did. But yeah, I'm curious to see. Of course, special effects will probably be fantastic, but I'm curious to see what the overall approach to this Twister remake will be. Is it necessary? Do we need it? And will we have fun with it the same way we did with the original? And I agree. I surprisingly enjoyed the original. I thought it was going to be cheesy. Mm-hmm. And it was actually a lot of fun. Bill Paxton did a great job. Helen Hunt did a fantastic job. Yeah. Philip Seymour Hoffman in a minor role there as well. People forget about Jamie Gertz, 80s. Actress Jamie Gertz showed up as Bill Paxton's wife or girlfriend or whatever that he eventually leaves to go back. Plus, it had a, and I got no shame saying this, it had a damn good Shania Twain song on that soundtrack.
I love me some Shania. Yes.
That song was fantastic.
Give it to me. So if you're not familiar with this movie, though, Twister, it's a, you know, obviously, like I mentioned, it was a huge box office hit. But the story is like, it's an original story, you know, starring, like you said, Paxton and Hunt, who play storm chasers on a couple on the brink of divorce. They team up to chase tornadoes in order to deliver their advanced weather alert system that has to be placed in the path of the Twister, actually in the middle of the Twister itself, and these little thingies go up in there and that's how they measure it. But now more than ever, you know, meteorologists are like the biggest rock stars when it comes to news, when it comes to the newsroom. So they're the ones that not only make the most money, they're the people that make the most, they're most popular essentially, because maybe you're not into the news, but what everyone cares about is the weather. And you care if the meteorologist is wrong. And so, I can definitely see, you know, this definitely being relevant.
Yes.
You know, with the necessity of, like I said, now more than ever, you know, necessity of, you know, meteorologists and everything and the rock stars they've become. But also the movies had huge groundbreaking special effects. So I wouldn't be surprised if they want to almost do it like a different, maybe a different version of Twister. Yeah. Instead of Twister, it would be, I don't know, an earthquake or something. I don't know.
Okay.
You get a lot of earthquakes down there by you in LA.
I wouldn't say a lot, but there are some for sure. That's for sure. So yeah, I mean, you have to change the title though, because it's all about hurricanes, is what Twister's all about.
Maybe I don't know if it's meant to be like an actual direct.
Oh.
Well, or anything. I was thinking maybe it's almost like a reimagining of like a pretty much identical.
Okay, so it could be Hurricane.
Hurricane. Hurricane. Yes.
I like that reaction. hey, look, Sean Barreto has done it, Alex. So you got to say it. There it is. Oh,
I forgot what it was. What was it?
You're supposed to say the Yankees are the best. No, you say it. Don't you whisper it either. And you say New York Yankees.
New York Yankees are the best.
Nope. Louder.
There you go. There you go.
No, you got to say it louder.
New York Yankees are the best. There you go. There you go. Fine. New York Yankees are the best. The best.
Who's your favorite Yankees player? I think that's got to be the next thing.
I don't care. I don't want any of them. They're all the worst. Oh, I don't. No, I don't care. All I don't want any of them. I want none of them.
No, now you can't say that. You can't take it back by saying that.
No. Mm-mm.
BCD says replace Yankees with the Red Sox. Yep, you chip in $100, BC, then she will. She will replace the Yankees with the Red Sox. So,
dude, come on, man.
Come on, man.
Why are you taking this all deeper and deeper, Rocco? It's like you're stirring the pot, and I don't appreciate it, okay?
I apologize.
Okay, so.
Anyway, let's leave the Twister story, I think. Tavishka Productions sent in a Streamlabs. He said, I keep sending Streamlabs in a rush and often send them to SEN and not your feed, Roka. So I apologize for any future statements that appear odd. You can ask Christian for those $5 back. Please do not touch Twister unless it will be shot in Oklahoma. There you go.
I used to live in Oklahoma.
Yeah?
Yeah. All I used to live in Enid, Oklahoma, up on the base over there. Mm-hmm.
Right on. Sean, let me know if that was satisfactory to you, the way she said it. Because you paid $100, for God's sake. You should get what you paid for. I mean, there's a face. Alex, big Independence Day fan. Science in that. Ha.
I actually, alien movies are actually one of my favorite, like, subgenre movies.
Oh, cool.
Especially when it comes to actions and thrillers and, you know, sci-fi horror. I actually love sci-fi horror.
Yeah.
Definitely underrated genre of movies right there. But when it comes to Independence Day, I feel like it's definitely, it lacks in a lot of different areas, but it's that, I swear, Bill Pullman in that presidential speech.
So good.
So
good.
It's worth a rewatch every year for that speech alone. I mean,
that's
not to mention Will Smith smoking a stogie. I mean, iconic.
I agree with you. Harry Connick Jr. I agree with you. Okay. Crazy Randy Quaid. I'm all for it. Absolutely. All right. We got about 13 minutes left in the show. We finally crossed 100 likes, but we got 216 of y'all watching us live. Please hit that like button, for God's sake. Swing that mouse over there. Hit that thumbs up button. Get us to 150 likes before we wrap this thing up in 13 minutes. And we got one last story, I think, Alex. I think you want to take us into this one? Magic School Bus?
Yes. Okay. Guys, if you're not familiar with the Magic School Bus, you were in for a delight. Okay. This is so much fun. Elizabeth Banks is actually to play Miss Frizzle in the live action adaptation of the Magic School Bus film. Okay. Universal's Magic School Bus is based on the Scholastic book series, you know, written by Joanna Cole, popularized by the hugely popular animated TV show that was started in the 90s. Now, when I say popular, I mean mega popular. I'm talking about like Harry Potter level popular. Okay. So this show was actually done by PBS way back in the day. It was shown over 100 million countries and it played for over 18 years, you know, with Lily Tomlin voicing Miss Frizzle initially. Yeah. So, you know, the story is about Miss Frizzle and her class, and she actually teaches like a grade school class, and so they go on field trips in their yellow school bus that transforms into a lot of different awesome stuff, from a spaceship, a submarine, an airplane, a surfboard, and in order to kind of learn about the world. So there's different points where they actually travel into, like, they turn into something itty-bitty microscopic in order to go into the human body to learn about anatomy. So there's so much fun going into this.
Yeah.
There you go. Thank you. I'll wear this for the rest of the episode. This doesn't fit, but you know.
I love it. There you go. Wow.
Anyway, that totally fits, right? Like,
yeah. Totally fits. Totally fits. My Yankees hat's in the other room, or else I'd wear that too. But I respect you wearing that thing. I'm surprised it fits over your headphones. So respect, man. Respect. Yeah,
Lucas has a massive head. He does. He has like. His head is like huge. I mean, like,
wow.
It looks like a construction hat.
It's huge, 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 it's huge.
So, but a lot of people are really, this is actually coming to us from Universal Studios. Banks, obviously, hugely off her. She directed Pitch Perfect 2, Charlie's Angel, which didn't do well. But at the same time, she has a really good relationship. This feels so uncomfortable right
now. Well, I'm not making you wear it, so.
I feel so bad.
I think you repped it. You're good.
Okay. But it was like, she has like a lot of strong ties with Universal right now. And she's also set it to star in the original, the Invisible Woman remake, you know, coming up from Universal. So, you know, she's definitely in the conversation. It was one of their, you know, big connections going on right now. Lily Tomlin did initially voice Miss Frizzle in the anime series, like I mentioned, for 18 years. So obviously very long time. So the producers say, we are delighted to bring the life of the iconic Miss Frizzle and her zest for knowledge and adventure in a fresh new way that inspires the next generation of kids to explore science and supports the dedicated teachers who help make science real and accessible for young learners today. So what do you think? Did you know about the show at all?
Yeah, I mean, when you have nieces and nephews growing up, you know, you watch that stuff, you know about it. I'm not the biggest fan of Elizabeth Banks when it comes to drama, but I enjoy her in comedy. So this seems like a lighthearted, fun family film comedy. So she'll probably knock this out of the park and be just fine in that role. And certainly it's incredible shoes that she is looking to fill with Lily Tomlin, who's such a great actress, still working today. Such a great comedian, still working today in Grace and Frankie. Yes. So I think this is a great choice by her. Plus she's producing it. Look, you may not like Elizabeth Banks as an actress, or you may not like some of the comments she's made, kind of way off base. The comment she made about Steven Spielberg was completely ridiculous, but she's trying to be a force in Hollywood as a female producer, a female actress, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, and so I totally respect the fact that she's trying to put her footprint in this town. It's not easy to do, and she's pushing forward for her own things. I've heard not some nice things about her, so from friends who've worked with her. So it is what it is, but I totally respect the fact that she's doing what she wants to do. It's a good family film. It's a great brand move for her. She's already conquered raunchy comedy, somewhat conquered a little bit of the horror stuff. Now let's move on to family films. That's the natural thing. I think she has a daughter, or she has children, and so it makes sense for her to move into this realm, and you know, she'll probably do just fine with it, for sure.
Yeah. I'm really excited about this. You know, now more than ever, a lot of people are really... A lot of people are like much more eager to be like, oh my gosh, teachers are amazing. You know, now a lot more people are like teaching at home and, you know, trying to do a lot of, you know, teaching virtually and everything. And they're understanding firsthand how difficult it is to teach kids and maintain their attention, you know, especially if they're not in front of you. I feel for teachers so much, you know, but now more than ever as well, there's a lot of, there's a lot of conversation about the role of science in our society.
Right.
You know, I could say up and down, you know, how important understanding science and everything, how necessary it is. But at the same time, there's a lot of people that think the idea of science isn't necessary to really learn about, unfortunately. Right. So, you know, with everything with, you know, being anti-vaccines or understanding, you know, you know, the current current climate, you know, global climate and everything. And so now more than ever, it's very necessary to understand a lot of different ideas, you know, and understand how the world works, scientifically speaking. So I'm really great for kids to have another way to learn about it as well. Do you think, is there anything that you would love to see the Magic School Bus transform into?
Oh, no. I mean, I don't really know. I just really enjoy the story overall, and I don't know if I necessarily need to see it transform anything. How about this? Transform into a good movie. That's what I'd like it to do. Transform into a good movie that people will enjoy and go see. Because, I mean, like we were talking earlier in the show, the idea of how are you, you know, people coming to the theater. I think you have family wholesome entertainment coming to the theater would be a positive thing for people to enjoy. Yesterday, the one of the Sony Animation executives says they're veering more towards doing more R-rated animated films because they feel that they're not that the market for G-rated family films is not there anymore, and that's a shame and that's sad. And so for me, I think a Magic School Bus that is as close to G-rated as you get of a film would be a nice way to kind of maybe restart this idea of putting G-rated films back in the theater for young children to go and enjoy and parents not having to worry about it. You know, I think that would be a fun thing to do as well. Maybe start that revolution in the other way. So certainly that could be a great thing to see. So that's all. I transform into a good movie that's wholesome for the whole family. I'm down with that.
I'm picking up what you're putting down. Absolutely. I think this movie has tons of potential to be amazing. Yeah, sure. I do have slight hesitation, knowing that there was an animated sequel to the original series that's on Netflix right now that actually was released in 2017. It actually included the voices of Kate McKinnon as Mrs. Frizzle's sister, Fiona, which debuted in 2017. That makes sense. I don't know about you, but I never heard of that.
No, I hadn't.
So that being said, it kind of makes me... That idea makes me a little bit nervous. Like, I would love there to be this movie to succeed and be amazing and everything, but I don't know if people are going to want to watch it, you know? Yeah. So that's what I'm kind of curious to kind of see overall. And I do know there was a super chat earlier today from Lewis Allen, by the way.
Yeah, he said, well done to Liverpool on winning their first title in 30 years. Is this the one you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
If I gave 100 pounds, would you say, is that pounds? Is that pounds?
Yeah, that's pounds.
Would you say Everton are better than Liverpool?
Roca. Interesting.
If you gave 100 pounds in the Streamlab, which means YouTube doesn't take 33% because they take 33% of super chats. If you gave 100 pounds in the Streamlabs, sure. I would say it because 100 pounds is more than $100 in America. So I absolutely, if you send it in the next 5 minutes on Streamlabs, you can figure that out. I will say it loud and proud. I won't whisper it like somebody else on this show. I'm not going to mention any names, but I will absolutely say it loud and proud. If you send it.
Yankees are the fucking worst.
No, you can't do that. You can't take it back.
I already said it. You know,
now Sean's not going to approve the payment. Damn it. All right.
No, anyway. It's like, I already said it, you know.
That's true. You whispered it.
The Yankees are the best team in MLB history.
There you go. Boom.
But also by extension, they're also the worst team. I hate them. Oh, they can never play again, and I wouldn't cry a single tear. So, you know, whatever. It's all right. Good.
There you go. And Lewis Allen, there is the address. If you really want to send that 100 pounds in, I'm absolutely down. We did get a Streamlab that came in here right near the end. Johnny Five for Life. Nice little short circuit reference. Fun show, guys. What's both of your favorite guilty pleasure movies? Mine is Con Air. Bad movie, but it's so much fun. I don't care. Do you have a guilty pleasure movie there, Alex?
You go first. I'm having a hard time.
Really? I mean, I like Hudson Hawk from Bruce Willis, even though it's a terrible, terrible movie. It's a guilty pleasure of mine. A Million Ways to Die in the West. I cannot explain to you why that Seth MacFarlane movie works for me. It makes me laugh every time. The mustache song is hilarious. Yeah. So for whatever reason, I like that movie a lot. And maybe it's just the charm of Seth and Charlize Theron that keeps me interested in that film. But those are two of my most recent guilty pleasure movies that I can think of that I've discovered And anything from Gerard Butler over the last 10 years is absolutely a guilty pleasure movie.
Butler, Jerry B. I love that dude. Oh, he's so good. Yeah. Someone mentioned in the chat, actually, Tombstone. I actually really, really love Tombstone. Same for Maverick.
Oh, Maverick. Yeah, not a bad one.
Man, I shouldn't like that movie as much as I do, but I love that movie. So much. Something about Jodie Foster and her little Southern country drawl. Oh, gentlemen. I'm like, Jodie. Yeah.
Jodie's the best. Is the best.
And also, pop star, never stop stopping.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Pop star, never stop stopping. Never stop popping. Yeah.
That's not really a guilty pleasure. I love that movie.
No, a lot of people like that film, right?
Great.
Oh,
yeah.
Nate M. Yes. Geostorm. I can't explain to you why I like that movie. I cannot explain to you, but it is a damn good movie, right? So bad, but so much fun.
So bad.
Oh, it's so true. It's so true. And yeah, absolutely. I don't know if I can have a Greenland trailer reaction like 10 people will watch that, which is the new Gerard Butler movie, but maybe. But absolutely. I mean, in my ways, there she is. I hate A Million Ways to Die in the West. I'm sure everybody does. That's why it's
guilty. I feel like Gerard Butler, I feel like it's kind of like a subgenre for him to play angry scientists explaining science.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I like it. Hunter Killer is another one where he's on the ship, the submarine movie.
Hunter Killer,
it's
so ridiculous, and I love it.
Armageddon is not a guilty pleasure.
That movie is wonderful. That deserves all the Oscars, all the love. It's not a bad movie. It's a not correct movie, but it's a wonderful movie.
It's an American classic. It's an American classic.
It's the most, in my opinion, the most Bay movie ever.
I agree. Well, unfortunately, Lewis was not able to send in the time. We've got like a few minutes left while we wrap up here. If I see it come through, I'll say it. But if he doesn't, I hate to break it to you. It's not going to happen, unfortunately. So, all right, Alex, tell people where they can find you and everything you got going on.
You can find me here on Twitter. I post funny stuff sometimes, not always, but I try. And you can also find me on Cinebias, where we kind of dive into, like you mentioned, our personal movie biases, and we expand our movie minds. And also, the Cold Action Podcast. I've been doing a lot. I'm the only one that does reactions nowadays at Cold Action Podcast. So I do a lot of reactions, a lot of live stuff. I'm going to be doing a reaction tonight to Chance Ellison versus Paul Oyama in the IG match. So that's going to be a fun time. I'm not entirely sure when. So go check out the Cold Action Podcast and subscribe and find out.
And is it the semifinals coming up, the debate too, the schmobates? Is that the semis?
Yes, it is actually, it's coming up in the semifinals right now between Daniel Ramirez as well as Bibbs, the Beast Barbiani. And the winner of that match is going to be going up against Ben Bateman.
Wow. A repeat of what happened last year. It's spectacular. Well, it could be a destruction unless Danielle pulls off the upset. So I heard she won using the Outlaw as a favorite nickname for a competitor. So shout out to her. Yeah.
Yeah. She said, and I quote, she said, most iconic, because the question is most iconic nickname.
Yeah.
Not only what's most iconic is the one that most recognizable. Everyone knows, everyone can have a clear visual when they not only hear theme and the name and everything, they have that clear visual of, you know, everything associated with you, with the hat and the gloves and the what used to be the blindfold and all that good stuff. So it's like a whole thing. But with Schmobates, it's a fun time. We argue Schmodown's most interesting and weird necessary questions.
All right. Fair enough. Lewis Allen, you still didn't send it in. Tell you what, if you send a super chat in the next 3 minutes for $150, then I'll say it. But until then, I can't with it because they take 33%. So that's what I'm going to say. And could transfer 100 pounds. There you go. All right. You can find me at The Roka Says. You see down below there on Twitter and on Instagram. I love so much of the interaction I've been having with the fans over the last few days who've been so supportive of my Liverpool love, but also of the content we keep doing here on the Outlaw Nation channel. So I appreciate it. We got back up over 13,500 after I lost a few because of the Imagine the Black Lives Matter stuff. So it's great to see so many people coming back to the channel to enjoy the content we're putting up. We stayed consistent throughout, and we always will. That's how we do things here. Don't forget the Mike Kalinowski Outlaw Nation is up now for you to watch. About 2.5 hours of me and Mike answering your questions and also talk about the Schmodown, talking about his journey, talking about his life. And you get a glimpse of of an old student film of his, a period piece with him in like an old 1890s wig. Very, very funny stuff, or 17th century wig. Very, very funny stuff. Look for that as well. And don't forget, today at 4 o'clock, going live with Aaron Turner for Strong Style. Boom, that's my man right there. We're going to have a lot of fun. He's staying alive in Florida somehow. So hopefully he will stay alive for quite some time so we can keep doing the show. He's a blast. And if you're a Cinephiles fan, today we dropped part two of our breakdown of Inception that is up there for you to enjoy and watch. upcoming here on in July on the Cinephiles, we will be having our month of patriotism, and we will be covering 1776. And Patton, and I think one more movie that might fit in there, depending on how it goes about. But we also just recently did Highlander.
I still need to see that. Yeah,
it was a cheesy experience for sure, but we did it. So there's a lot coming from the Cinephiles as well. And one last thing. Twitch. Go and follow me there on Twitch, The Outlaw Nation, all one word, lowercase. Go and follow me there as well. And if you're part of the Patreon, we're shooting a Patreon thing later on today. It's our next one. It's the OK Corral, the debate show on the Patreon. You can participate at a certain level. Go to patreon.com/John Rocha. See the multiple tiers. We dropped already Ask the Outlaw, which a lot of you really enjoyed. I just made public the Criterion Corner one that I did about My Darling Clementine, and now we're on to the OK Corral. And I think next week, if we can schedule with Alex, she will be our first guest on The Outlaw Rides Again. Alex and I will rewatch one of my outlaw matches and talk about it and answer questions from her and from the fans. So those are things you get involved in the Patreon, plus the hangouts later on today, probably about 5:30. We'll be doing the on-camera hangout for everybody at the $10 and above Patreon level. We go on camera and talk about whatever's going on in the world of entertainment and in your world. So there you go. All right, that's it. I got to go. Thank you to Alex Shawshank. It was incredible today. Thank you to all of you all who watched us and enjoyed us. And if you're listening to us on the podcast network, thank you so much for that as well. The Outlaw Nation Podcast Network, everywhere you download podcasts. That's it. Have yourselves a great weekend. Take care of yourselves. Be safe. As Alex might say, wear your
flipping mask.
Yeah, wear your flipping mask. We'll talk to you on Monday. Take care.